This program is brought to you by the 603 Alliance, dedicated to restoring constitutional control at every level of government, and New Hampshire's leading political blog site, GraniteRock.com.
Rock Talk.
We now have Yaniv Nader here, and you are one of the leadership people in the New Hampshire House, along
yes.
with Al Baldassaro.
We share an office.
Yes. Well, I wonder about that, because every time I've been at the House and you've asked me to come to your office, he's never there.
That's because I'm out all over and in different committee rooms and downstairs in my other office that they're closing March 1st, the smoking room.
Oh, yeah, they're taking away his other office.
It's now going to be a nursery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what a place. Would you want your child down in the dank, dark basement?
Hey, any way they can get it. And we also have over on the side, Anne-Marie Banfield. Are you going to be talking with Anne-Marie in a little bit?
Yes.
Well, why don't you come over here and take the seat next to Janine?
I'm also waiting for an activist in Merrimack who just started a group called Merrimack Concerned Taxpayers.
Are you ready to take over?
And sure.
Then I will just be your engineer, unless you want me to opine on something. Because, as you know, I always have opinions on everything, including several opinions on the same thing.
Well, actually, stay put a minute, because you were talking about the regional planning commissions, and I've been thinking a lot about those lately, because all over the state, especially in my town of Merrimack, we have all these apartments going up, like tons and tons of apartments. And I'm remembering back 10 years ago when we were fighting the regional planning commission. We didn't want them, because once you bring in those
housing,
federal money,
yes,
and then you lose local control. And now we have all these apartments. And the stack 'em and pack 'em.
That's Agenda 21 movement.
Yes, it is. And I remember being a freshman legislator. Al, you probably remember too, mm-hmm. when there was legislation to stop all that. And I didn't understand
it
at the time. Really, mm-hmm. And there was another freshman mm-hmm. rep, and she didn't do a good job explaining it. She just kept talking about dangling carrots, and I'm like, what do you mean dangling carrots? Who's dangling carrots, mm-hmm. and what are the carrots?
You're right. If you build them, they will come.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Democrats.
And,
mm-hmm.
and that really is the workforce housing. And, you know, there was the AFFH by the Obama administration that literally wanted to, they thought it was inequality and unfair that people who happened to live in rich areas mm-hmm. of a community had better outcomes, their kids, because of that seclusion. That they excluded other people, and they were pushing to move workforce housing in amongst all of these large places, thinking that, well, there must be something just because of the that area. What they didn't want to acknowledge is that the lower educational outcomes had nothing to do with the area that you're in, or just the better schools. It also had to do with the parents' involvement with their kids, that making sure that the kids were doing their studying and really working hard, the personal responsibility of that. They just wanted, it's sort of like the version of the Democrats' idea of diversity, very shallow, it's only skin deep. They didn't understand it was the cultural mores that played more of a role than just where you are. And all you have to look at is Dr. Ben Carson, who's the head of HHS now, who killed off that rule. But they were looking to do all kinds of things, including taxing you that if you didn't do this, you're going to get whacked. You know, and it just now, and we're seeing this, and now Governor Sununu has got two bills in the hopper that are going to make local planners certified home champions as one, that anybody who wants to volunteer on a planning commission has to take a test to get credentialed to be able to get on this. And then the other things are basically doing a slam dunk for the developers, which has to do with if a developer starts to put a plan into place and it doesn't go all the way through, then there's a time limit, at which time it's then booted out of the planners, and then it goes to a state-level council, if I'm remembering everything right, that will then be able to push that plan forward, even if the town is against it.
That's a shame.
That is a shame.
Yeah, it is a disgrace.
And I remember I was in a group with a whole bunch of people when this was brought up. And I still to this day don't understand how the guy got out who was trying to explain all this got out without losing his head. So this is New York City type stuff.
Right.
This is not New Hampshire type stuff. I understand housing is expensive.
There's the gun again.
There it is.
Now,
I heard it now.
Yeah, Janine, just go lean down again. We got to figure out where this is coming from. Somebody said, well, are we getting hacked on our audio system? I said, this is a dumb device. we're not hearing it coming back from the live stream.
But it's an actual gunshot.
It sounds like it.
Somebody messing with you there on this here?
I don't know. We just don't know.
Maybe they want to make sure that you don't forget about Second Amendment, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
You all remember our former colleague, the Honorable Lynette Peterson?
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
Every time I sent her a text, it would be a gunshot. So sometimes we sat across from each other in the house. She sat in section four. I was in four. She was in two. And she would get a hold of me and go like this, hold her phone up, and so for me to send her text. So I'd send her a text, and then the gunshot would go off, and she would lean forward to the Democrat in front of her. Because she'd jump. Hal just walked in the room. Hey, Hal.
So, anyways, I'm going to turn this over to you. Mr. Mike, we have John Irish's board to give us a little more room. Live stream is up and running. I think it's very similar to Ustream. I'm going to kind of take my headset off. He's going to take his headset off. And we're going to let the three of you guys talk about what you were going to.
Sure.
And I'm going to turn this board over in a few minutes to Mike so I can go get lunch. But if you hear the little whispering from us engineer geeks, just ignore us.
Okay. Can we put some headsets on Hal Shurtleff because he's here? All right. Now, I've known Hal for years and years and years and years, and he has the same last name as the current Speaker of the House.
I know, it's a little, like, who are you talking about?
And I remember the last time when we were in the minority in the House, we had Hal come up and give a talk, and a lot of the freshman Democrats came to the talk because they saw... Oh, shirtless giving a talk.
That's good.
They had to sit through this conservative talk about something.
That's great. Hey.
I don't even know what we were talking about. Yeah. Maybe Hal remembers.
Hal and I go back a few years, I think. How are you?
Good guy.
Every time you see you, you're with this guy named Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, the President Donald Trump will be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's our gunshot. Yes.
He just picked that up. See, there's something that's...
Now, is it coming over the air as well?
Yeah,
we're not the only ones hearing it?
No, we're the only ones hearing it.
We're the only ones hearing it. So the audience...
We have no idea what's going on.
So, well, for the audience who can't hear, there's a gunshot that goes off periodically.
It's kind of
funny.
How
are you, Hal?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Are you picking up Hal on the receiver here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good. At the top of the hour, we're going to be talking about education. But as long as you're here, why don't we talk about Camp Constitution?
Oh, it sounds like a good idea. Well, we're back in the news because of our lawsuit against the city of Boston.
Yeah, where are you at on that?
Well, it's going to be a First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston. Yeah. That's the next level. Mm-hmm. And if they don't rule in our favor, it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. And hopefully they will take the case, and it will set a nationwide precedent.
Yeah.
Liberty Counsel, that's one of the reasons why they took the case. One, that was winnable, and two, that it would set a precedent.
Probably should explain in case anybody's listening, they don't understand what you're...
Yes. Well, Camp Constitution is a New Hampshire-based charitable trust, and I live in the city of Boston. And it was back in June of 17 that I was invited to participate in a prayer meeting at Mayor Walsh's office. Now, Mayor Walsh was not involved in this whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't anywhere to be found. It was an inner-city pastor, Bruce Wall. So I participated in the event, and as we were leaving, I thought, we really need to make a strong stance for Christianity and for constitutionalism, what have you. And as I was walking out, there's the rainbow flag fluttering. I said, about 6-7 years ago, we raised the Gadsden flag at City Hall. We had Garrett Lear, the Patriot pastor, show up, and he was in his outfit with a firing musket walking in downtown Boston. I said, this is pretty neat. We didn't have many people come out. No media showed up or anything like that. So I thought we should have a flag raising of the Christian flag The Christian flag is a non-denominational flag. It's not copywritten. It's a very simple flag. It's white, blue, with a red Latin cross in the top left, the chevron, that's what they call it, the top left corner. And I went through the process of trying to get a permit. And the purpose of the permit basically is just to make sure there's not another group there or what have you. And the lady that I dealt with was the late Mayor Menino's daughter-in-law. And she was very sympathetic. But it took about a month before I got a final answer. And the answer was, it's unconstitutional. It's a violation of the First Amendment. Separation of church and state.
Wow.
Here's the same mayor that is in Sanctuary City, Boston. He doesn't want to abide by the mandated laws passed in pursuance of the Constitution. So that's okay. But this thing is a horrible violation of the First Amendment. And as ironic as it is, the official email I received, the city seal, has a Bible verse on it.
From
the Old Testament, from 1 Kings.
Wow.
And so I sent out a news release initially, just local media. Yeah. And no response, but I got a friend of mine that said, you need to contact Liberty Counsel, which is a nonprofit legal entity based in Florida, founded by Matt Staver. So I contacted them in the evening on the website. The next morning, they called me, so we want to take your case.
Nice.
So they sent the city a demand letter. This would be now October of 17. Nothing here. They didn't hear anything from them. And it made a lot of news. It made all of Breitbart and a lot of media outlets because they thought it would be an interesting case. So we formally filed a case against the city in July of 18. And then they submitted another case in July of last year with more facts. They point out that almost 300 flag-raising events since 2005 and 6, including the communist flag of China and Cuba, and, of course, the transgender and the rainbow flags. And then they added something else to the complaint to oppose us, that the flag represents government-approved speech. So what their essence that they've said to the judge is that we approve of communist flags, communist China. Not only do they approve, but the city officials officiate. And they even passed a resolution one year honoring the communist revolution in China that killed about, I don't know, how many millions of people? No one will know the exact figure. And that's okay. That's approved government speech. The rainbow flag, the transgender flag, this is all
approved. So everything but the Christian flag.
Yeah. And we were going to have a ceremony. We were going to have Reverend Stevie Kraft. Some of you might know Reverend Kraft.
Oh, I love him.
He's one of our camp instructors, very dynamic. He was going to preach about the need, or a little talk about the need for racial reconciliation. See how subversive we are, you know, to the country. The second speaker was a former citizen of the Sudan, the South Sudan, who had been tortured by the Muslims as a young man. His topic was just the blessings of liberty as a U.S. citizen. Wow. And when I went to his house, he lives near Pittsfield, Massachusetts, a little rural area. I knew it was his house because about 15 Trump signs all over the place. I said, okay, this must be Pastor Levy. And then we were going to have a third speaker talk about Boston's Christian history. I mean, it wasn't founded, believe it or not, it wasn't founded by Muslims and transgenders. It was founded by Christians. The City Set on a Hill, the great sermon by John Winthrop, who was the founder of Boston. Up until the first time a sitting pope has ever visited, gave Mass. And it was interesting, too. Pope John Paul II gave Mass on Boston Common. This wasn't a speech. This wasn't
a rally.
Yeah. This was a religious service. And I was in the service back then, but I had a lot of my Protestant friends and Catholic. They just thought it was a wonderful event. And there's actually a monument on Boston Common commemorating that.
Was that 1986?
79.
Oh.
79,
okay, because he did a tour in 86.
He came back,
Yeah, I was in Hawaii then. Yeah.
I was 9 months pregnant, so I had tickets, but we thought
it was a big deal. I think there was about a million people, and they actually flew the Vatican flag on the Boston Common. And initially I told the attorneys that, and he said, well, he was a head of state, but not in 79 he wasn't. We didn't acknowledge the Vatican as a separate state until 83 or 84, you know, Ronald Reagan. So anyway, it's made the same judge. We have the same judge. She's denied us three times now. She just happens to be an Obama appointee. Surprise, surprise. We're not going to expect any justice here. So but we think if the Supreme Court takes the case, they will rule in our favor. And we'll demonstrate.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. You can indeed fight City Hall if the case, if the cause is right and proper. And we're kind of excited about it because if they just gave us our little permit, We would have had maybe, you know, 50 people there. We would have had a nice YouTube video, and that would have been it. And the average person walking by, they would have no idea what that little flag with a
right.
cross was. You know? So I look at God's hand is in this, you know.
Yeah.
There's no question about
well,
it.
Well, you know, the president, he's tried pushing that prayer back in the school.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
and I think it's a great thing because when prayer left the school, guns came in.
Guns and yeah, drugs
that's
and
right, drugs that's and everything right. else.
Yeah, yeah, but if they put that sign up that says no guns allowed, then the bad guys will see that sign and went, oh, I can't go in there,
yeah, that,
and they'll turn around
oh,
and go somewhere
doubt.
Else.
Of course,
that's right?
Right. Or you'll
yeah.
see the drug-free zone.
Oh, right. yeah, drug-free yeah. zone.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. Well, who's dispensing drugs yeah. in that school? Well, we talk about education. We know that the school is dispensing psychotropics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you
and
know, the Democrats try to pass that in, no guns in the around the school or in the school, where federal law says if you have a gun permit,
yeah,
you
we're
can.
Going to be talking about firearms at 1:30 today,
yeah.
so in an hour. Hal and I, we have a mutual friend. Well, he's passed away, but Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld.
Sam Blumenfeld, yep. that's right.
I'm a founding member of his Reading Foundation. I believe you are as well.
I became the president.
Oh, you're the president.
Don't you remember voting me
yes,
in?
Yes, I do remember we
ago?
Had to have that, that conference.
That's
we
right.
signed the papers.
Yep.
Yeah. How is that going?
Well, it's going well. It's the Sam Blumenfeld Literacy Foundation. And when I had it, we didn't even have a checking account. Now we have a checking account with about $3 in it. So, but... when Sam passed away, well, Sam left me his papers and library, and I took possession prior to his passing.
I have some of his books.
And I gave, you know, some of the books he wanted to sell to raise money for camp. Some of the books were I gave to his friends. Chuck Morse, for example, his one of his best friends, who happens to be a man of the Jewish faith. Sam had a lot of, what do you call it, Judaica? So I gave him a lot of Sam's Jewish-type books. One of his friends is a pastor in Virginia, and he's a big Shakespeare guy, so I gave his church.
Oh, Marlowe
Shakespeare. So I gave him some of the. Sam had a big collection of Shakespeare books, Shakespeare and Marlowe. But some of the books, like first edition things, some of his autographed stuff, we're actually housing in Lexington, Massachusetts. We're going to make it available on appointment only on in the public. But we also created the Samuel Blumenfeld Archives. So what we did was our webmaster, Eric Conover, and our camp newspaper. Editor Mark Affleck from Pennsylvania, he's the PDF expert. He just scanned all of these correspondence and unpublished manuscripts and his books.
Wow.
And then I had about two legal sized boxes of audio tape on cassette. Right, you remember those things?
Yeah, you need a pencil.
Yeah. And that was the high tech of the day.
Yeah.
Converted them all into MP3, the old VHS into MP4,
right.
So they can go onto our website, campconstitution.net, there's a drop-down Blumenfeld Archive, and all we ask for is a username and a email address. It's all free. Last year, we got 2 million views.
Wow.
We don't get a lot of feedback, but I got feedback from a lady in South Africa, Johannesburg. She's a teacher. She says, I'm a special needs teacher. I have 14 students. There's been no progress in 2 years of these students. They're young teenagers, 15, 16, 17.
Cover
she
your
said,
mouth when you cough or sneeze.
I know.
Because if you don't, you'll
Did
spread
you see
disease.
Me? Did you see me cough?
Yes, but they can't see you. It's radio.
No.
Anyway.
They're watching.
They're
anyway,
watching us.
where was I? So she said that she found our Blumenfeld archives online, and she started using the Alphaphonics, which is a very easy way to teach people
those.
How to read. My wife and I used it on all five of our children. They're all good readers.
Mm-hmm.
And she said in 2 weeks, 12 of the students became proficient readers.
Wow.
So
that's
I was
awesome.
Really excited about that.
Wow.
So I'm sure there's other testimonies like that all over the world. I know
So my public access show, Chatting with Janine, has been on the air since 2006. And Dr. Sam has been a reoccurring guest.
Yeah.
He was one of the early guests when I first started the show. And I remember having all the Shakespeare books out, and I thought, oh, it's Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld. I put a tablecloth. I had crystal glasses with lemon in the water.
Yeah.
And then he said, chatting leaves a bad taste in my mouth. He's not into proper English.
Oh,
my
just
called chatting. Chattin apostrophe, chatting.
Right, yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And that he was on the show just before he died, too.
Wow.
And he didn't look good. I don't know. We probably talked about reading, I'm sure. And then he left his tie there, so I had his tie. And
really?
I think I gave it to you.
Oh, I think we still have it.
Mm-hmm.
He was diagnosed with leukemia. Actually, he called me, said he needed a ride from the hospital, in the Beth Israel Hospital, I think, in Newton, in Massachusetts. And I picked him up. He had a bad heart, so I thought it was heart-related.
Oh, he
and
thought he had a good heart.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, his physical heart.
Be careful your words, Hal. You got a way of changing them.
Isn't that what politicians do?
Yeah. No. Hey. See, I'm elected official. I don't consider myself politician.
You're a statesman.
Yeah, I got to kiss somebody's butt and tell them what they want to hear if I was a politician.
You know? That's something that Al has probably never done in his life.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
That's Marine. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Tell it like it is. People want honesty, respect.
Yeah.
You know?
And they respect that. Right. Yeah. Too much of this PC nonsense.
Well, you know, Al and I are the whips. Well, right. But they don't call us that anymore because that's, you know, sounds violent.
Right.
So there we go.
There it goes.
We just had the gunshot go off. Right when I said that.
I kind of wonder if somebody's out there going, yes, I like what she just said. Yes, I like what he said.
So I'm, you know, I text our reps, you know, ask them what we need to ask them for the week. And if they don't respond, then Al gets on the phone and goes, listen, you're going to answer your question and you're going to find a horse's head in the bed.
I don't threaten it. I don't threaten anyone.
Cement goulash.
Yeah. Right. I've heard him say, I know where you live.
I have cement shoes that fit you. You know what I mean?
Sleeping with the fishes.
I have a boat that we can take them out. You know? No big deal.
So we've had good responses to our whip questions.
That's right.
We make a good team.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Now I know who to call.
Yeah.
You guys, if I don't like something that's going through.
We even go and get the reps out of their committee. We'll see them pointing at them. Come here.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because if they're not answering, whenever the whip stuff come out, I always post it on our Republican page to let them know that, hey, team, we need your help because it makes our life easier.
Sure.
When they call in or into the emails. So when I got to call them, I feel now they're wasting my time. Mm-hmm. But we've been pretty successful.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We're the ones that made it, pulled in 100% votes on a lot of those vetoes.
Yes.
I have to commend you. Uh-huh. The New Hampshire House voted against a resolution, I think it was HCR 9, calling and applying for an Article 5 convention.
That's
and
my
it was,
committee.
Yes.
It was defeated. 319 by 25.
Yeah, I was so surprised.
That came out of my committee, you know.
I know. Yeah.
It took many years to get support on both sides.
All of the money that's been spent by these Article 5 organizations, I mean, in this state, thousands, left and right, Convention of States, Term Limits, USA, Wolfpack, and all the other groups. And it seems like the more money they spend, the more fewer votes they get in sport.
We had rescinded all those requests in 2011.
Right. I remember that.
Al was the chairman at the time.
The Senate didn't take it.
Yeah.
But then in 2012, one of our colleagues came in and convinced us that it was the right thing to do
on
the balanced budget. Right. And at the time, but then we started thinking about it, and buyer's remorse set in because how do you balance a budget? Well, do you think the government's going to decrease spending? No, they're going to raise your taxes, and who knows, they could seize your assets. Who knows what they'll do? I wouldn't put anything past
them. You know what most people don't realize when you talk about a balanced budget? I'll use New Hampshire with Democrats in charge. They go in the back room, they come up with all these new projected revenues that they're going to get, and they raise it. Mm-hmm. And then they call it a balanced budget.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you raise people's taxes and everything to pass their balance, support their balanced budget.
And see, at the state level, you can't print your own money.
No.
At the federal level, you can. You just simply print more money to cover the balance.
What is it? What's it called? Taxation is what?
Theft.
That's right.
But there's a couple of escape clauses.
That really riles them up when we say that taxation is theft. And we only say it to bug them.
There's a couple of escape clauses in these proposed balanced budget amendments. One of them is wartime. It's tough to fight a full-scale war on a balanced budget. It can't be done unless you're fighting a little island nation. And the second thing is in national emergency. So if you pass this amendment, you've now made a national emergency constitutional. The term is not in the Constitution. We've been under national emergencies forever. So now you've given Congress no incentive to ever get out. And these politicians will say, I'm fighting for the tax, lower the taxes, but what can I do? My hands are tied. We're in a national emergency. So all this work would be for absolutely nothing. You will get nothing accomplished. You always got to read the fine print.
Right. Mm-hmm. There is a bill in the House now. You already had the hearing and you're committing. I didn't put my name on it because I thought it would have a better chance to pass without my name
on it. It's to rescind New Hampshire's one.
One. And a lot of people don't know that about the how many calls it is that we do only have just one, and that was the one that was passed in 2012.
That's it.
And so, I was the chairman at that time.
And Hal, you know, I got Hal and Al. Al, how did the hearing go? I stayed for the first part.
Well, the hearing, I honestly think that we're going to support it. I think the votes of some of the Democrats are going to come on board with the Republicans. I got a couple of Republicans I'm still working on, but I think it's going to.
I certainly hope
so. Be a closed vote,
let's just start over.
Well, this issue is interesting because some issues are cut and dry, left and right, Democrat, Republican. This issue, you have people on both sides.
Well, this one is nonpartisan. Their gambling's nonpartisan, the marijuana. So there's a lot of bills out there that really don't have a party line. And then some do have a party line.
Did you see the battle we had getting ready for on term limits, Constitution Amendment? When I get up and did the PI parliamentary inquiry on it, and I told everyone, if we don't table this, you're going to hear me again. The Democrats voted with us to table it. Yeah. One by one vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So we were worried that they were going to bring it back off the table.
Was this at the state level? Or
the state level.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they tried to get rid of Columbus Day and the... Your cousin, who's
Steven.
On the other side, Steve Shurtleff is the Speaker of the House. He didn't vote on the bill because he's a member of the Knights of Columbus, so he just saw a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. He was good. He stayed out of it. Yeah.
Oh, I have my Knights of Columbus hat. I was at the March for Life in D.C., and there was the Knights are big sponsors of that.
Yes.
And they were passing out these beautiful winter hats, and gloves. And
he never votes with us on the life issues, but whatever. Actually, we don't have a single pro-life Democrat. We had one in previous terms, but he lost his seat this.
You know, Boston
last time.
Used to have pro-life Democrats.
We don't have any.
Even in the state house.
And we have some bills coming out. Maybe one of some will surprise us. But last year
they
didn't vote with us.
Roger Berube.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a great. Yeah.
Yeah, the gal who took his place, she was subbing on my committee, Science, Technology, and Energy. And somebody made a motion on whatever we were voting on, and she seconded it. So, I raised my hand and said, excuse me, I have an inquiry on the procedure. I said, this is a person that's just subbing. She shouldn't be making motions. And... oh, well, I don't know. And then we found out that, no, I was right. You can't do that. Because I think she may have gotten her panties in a bunch over that. Had something to
stop
say.
Stop hurting
well, just because
Democrats
I'm not on this committee.
Yeah.
Sorry. So at the top of the hour, we have Scott Adler joining us. He's a Merrimack resident and activist who started a new group called Merrimack Concerned Taxpayers. And joining him will be Anne-Marie Banfield, who's a mutual friend of ours, longtime activist in the field of education. So I don't know, do you have commercial breaks on Granite Rock Radio?
No, I've been yesterday.
Awesome.
They just keep going and going and going.
Stop talking.
Because I used to have Chatting Live with Janine on WSMN 1599, and we always had to break for commercials. So that's
while they're set up, Ian, you can shoot the breeze there and, about what's going on up at the State House or something like that while you're bringing your guest in.
Well, he's sitting right behind Hal. Yeah. So we've got another 7 minutes, and then we'll switch places.
Yeah, there you go. So, Hal, how many kids are you training over there at that camp?
Oh, well, we had last year's camp was in Western Massachusetts. We had about 100. We had families, mothers and fathers, even a couple of grandparents. This year's camp is in Plainfield, New Hampshire, proudly to announce.
Yay. So did you move?
We're using the Singing Hills Christian Camp and Retreat Center, which is, for those of you who don't know Plainfield, it's a little town just a little south of Lebanon, or West Lebanon, New Hampshire.
Okay.
And it's July 19th to the 24th. And every year we try to get new instructors, guest instructors. There's that young black conservative, C.J. Pearson, out of Atlanta. He's going to be one of our guest instructors or speakers. Alex Newman, who was a colleague, he's going to be he's our featured instructor. He's been to a camp before. It's been a few years. And there's an attorney from Liberty Council, Jonathan Alexander. And it was interesting. I met him at a conference in Pennsylvania back in October. The Liberty Counsel, who's defending our, taking our law case, they had a table at this event. And he's, you know, 30s, from Haitian background. I said, where are you from originally? He said, Boston. Oh, whereabouts? He says, March Avenue in West Roxbury, two doors down from me.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. My mother-in-law, you know, she was living there at the time, and my wife, before we were married, but they lived, I remember he was just a little kid, you know, he's 10 or 11.
Wow.
And now he's this, he's his lawyer with an incredible singing voice. So he's going to be a speaker there as well. And we have Lord Christopher Monckton returning, and he's the British Lord.
Oh, cool.
From, in fact, last year.
He's a great deal of fun.
Last year, you, the 603 Alliance and Granite Grock, you came to camp and interviewed him. I mean, at his classes. Yeah, he's an incredible guy. He was an advisor to Margaret Thatcher.
Mm.
And initially, he was he believed that global warming, climate change was real. And he kind of looked into it. And although he may not be, he doesn't have a degree in science, he has a, he's an incredible, brilliant guy. And he became one of the top, world's top experts exposing it. In fact, he was kicked out of a UN event. It was on an island in the Mediterranean, I think. I forget where it was. This is about 5 years ago. So he actually rents a plane. This guy's never jumped out of a plane before, right? I think he, at that time he was probably 62. And he had his tuxedo on and his jumpsuit over that tuxedo, and he bails out and he lands on this island and he participates in this meeting.
No way.
Hal, where can our listeners go to find out more about Camp Constitution?
You go to our website, campconstitution.net.
.net.
And you can also go to our Facebook page where you can find out all the events. We have year-round. We have events on a regular basis. I just showed
That's what you do full-time now, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And your kids are probably all grown now?
What's that?
Are your kids all grown now?
My youngest is 15.
My youngest is 18, because I remember when our kids were little.
Yeah.
Little.
Yeah. Is Dan Itzy still working with you?
I haven't heard from Dan in a few years. He's been an instructor a couple of times. Yeah, one year we did a tour of the state capitol, and he did the tour with us.
He's been in Concord lately.
Yeah, since his son passed away. It's taken him a while, but now he's starting to come out.
And get
more involved.
I think he misses being part of the legislature. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wants to run again, but he's just trying to, because he had sold his house there because. Raising his son was in a wheelchair for many years. It was a lot of, put him in debt a lot.
Yeah.
So he's regrouping.
And he's an engineer.
Yeah, he's an engineer. He's doing his own business again, so he's got it back up and running.
Yeah.
It's been slow. So if you need a good engineer, Dan Itzer. Yeah. But anyways, he wants to run again. But it might be another term before.
Well, thank you for joining us, Hal. Always good to see you.
Okay.
See you
Hal.
Keep in touch.
All right.
I'm sure we'll see you back in the battlefield.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And we'll have Scott to come forward.
He really helps because we need kids more educated in civics, history, social studies. So Camp Constitution is going to fill in that void.
Oh, big time.
You know, where the schools are sometimes failing. If parents are out there and they're looking for that kind of support for their kids, Hal's the guy to get in touch with, just go to the camp and they're going to learn a lot more probably than they'll learn all year long. So,
Do you know the schools are required to teach the Constitution here? And I'm willing to bet a lot of them don't.
Mm.
You know, they're required by law.
Hal's got one in his pocket.
Yeah,
Hal. Yeah. Now I'm going to call
and
you
Hal
all day.
I was looking in here because there's an area.
No, wave goodbye to Hal Shirtliff.
I couldn't remember the date. When Hal may know with the date when they teach, when they're required.
Well, they passed the law under the Reagan administration.
Right.
They passed the law under the Reagan administration.
So I just couldn't remember what day that was, keep up. As you see, mine is worn.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know. I'll get you a new one.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we welcome our guest, Scott Adler of Merrimack. Welcome, Scott.
Janine, thanks for
Scott.
Having me.
This is Anne Marie. Have you met Anne Marie before?
Online. We're
been talking online?
Social media friends.
Awesome.
That's how I normally meet people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Al is my sidekick. We work together in Concord. We also have a part-time, half a a year we do a show together in Londonderry called Who's Looking Out for You?
I take my marching orders from Janine. She keeps me out of trouble.
I can totally see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you can see that.
Janine for mm-hmm. a short period of time.
Yeah.
I can see mm-hmm. that she keeps things on the
Oh, without a doubt,
on yeah. the straight line
Yeah,
there.
So I can't complain, yeah.
Of course, you also could torture him, too, by having hummus in the office, always.
And this liquid green stuff.
The liquid green
stuff.
You know,
stuff. I'm an old retired Marine there, and I've eaten stuff all around the world, you know, out in the streets and the little carts and stuff. Had cooks come out in the Philippines and Taiwan, cook for us. I never seen any of this shit. Any of the stuff. Any of the green. The last time I seen that green stuff was when my kids were young, and they had diarrhea. You know?
Well, you know, Al,
we don't have broadcast delay here.
Yeah. Lent is coming, and I'm going to have some more of that green drink in
yes.
the office.
I think just yeah. I think Al, yes. I think Al
and Representative
it.
Kim,
yes.
oh, yeah. she's
we
in our
office. We have to look out for
well.
Him and yes. his mm. health. We don't. We need you here.
Mm. But anyway, we've got 20 minutes, and I yeah. want to hear from Scott. So Scott lives in Merrimack, which is where I live, and he among a lot of people in our town. Are looking at our tax bill go up and up and up and up yeah. and take over.
Yeah, every single year it seems to have gone up and up. And I've lived in my house now for 2.5 years, and the tax bill has gone up nearly $2,000, and that's it's crazy. So
yeah.
when the school budget this year was proposed at $81.1 million, I had enough. I said, you know what, we've got to do something a little different here. And I started a group called Merrimack Concerned Taxpayers. And it's a Facebook group. We've got over 400 members in it so far, and we're continuing to grow. There was two more requests to join just as I was sitting here. So
nice.
We're continuing to grow. And really what our mission is very simple. We want to look at everything that's being spent. We want to ask a lot of questions. We want to know what's going on. You know, mm-hmm.
Where's
this money
the money
going?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
line
right.
by line. We yeah. need a line by line itemization.
Yeah, some sort of an accounting. And you know, I've got children in the Merrimack School District. I've got children that have graduated from the Merrimack School District, and I've got children coming up into the Merrimack School District. The reality is I want the best for the children as well. And we're not looking to slash budgets blindly. We're not looking to just walk in and whack 50 teachers. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get an accounting of where the money's going. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that are disturbing me, though, are things such as the scare tactics that I think are occurring in the school district. So right. recently there was a school board meeting where there was a what-if scenario, $5 million. What if $5 million was cut from the budget? What would happen? And superintendent said that never would he ever cut staff to start with. And
the kids dropping? The numbers are dropping.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we were on TV.
I'm from Londonderry.
Absolutely.
And the same thing.
There was a significant decline in enrollment while the budget kept going up.
Yeah.
So, and I've got a chart that I built that kind of explains it all. I mean, you could look at that one chart and see, wait a minute, something's not right here. And I know that they've explained some of it, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in, I want to say 2000, let's see, we're 19, 2013-14, we were somewhere in the $60 million range.
Wow.
I mean, we're just talking
wow.
5 years ago, right? So the back to the story, the superintendent came in and said, hey, let's give a what-if scenario here, or the board requested it. I don't know how it went. And his first order of business was to cut gifted programs and talented programs and sports and music mm-hmm. and field trips and
right.
furniture. And it was not until he reached the $3 million mark that he even started about staff.
And there goes the gunshot.
There goes the gunshot.
Did you hear the gunshot?
I did.
Yeah. Somebody liked that comment.
See, I moved my head and it went off. I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of, I said yeah. something about violence and the gunshot went off. Mm-hmm.
So it's disturbing to me. I look at the number of staff that we have compared to what we had when the budget was lower, when we had 700 more students than we have now, and the staff has continued to increase.
Where are they hiring? Can you identify, like, who are they hiring?
As a matter of fact, I can. So I requested under the Right to Know Act, every single teacher, every salary, how many classes they teach, how many students are in each class, and it's a thick file, and we're going through it, but where we're at is they're hiring in they've got 20 steps in their pay plan, and they're hiring in the roughly the 14 to 18 range, and all of them have master's degrees. So we're very, very heavy in that bottom middle tier, which in turn is costing us a lot more money. I think that we're too heavy in that area, but we don't have any of the newer folks coming out of school that are, you know, given an opportunity to spread their wings.
So when I asked that question to him, if the student population is going down, you would think you wouldn't need as many teachers, and you're saying that the school personnel, the amount is going up. So what kind of people are they hiring? Because it doesn't sound like they would be actual teachers.
Yeah, administrators, you mean? Yeah.
So that's what we're diving into.
Okay.
And
we have a lot of paraeducators in Merrimack.
We have a tremendous amount, and we also have a lot of administrative folks as well. Mm-hmm. And my question is why aren't we doing an analysis on that from a school district perspective?
Yes.
Why aren't we looking at, do we really need that one additional administrative assistant? And trust me, I've been through a lot of reductions in force in my careers. The reality is nobody wants to see it happen. But you know what? Maybe we could repurpose those folks somewhere else, right? Maybe we can combine a couple of classes. You know, there's one class, and five students with a teacher making over nearly $80,000.
What's the subject for those five kids? Is it special needs or is it?
No, it is not. It's a language.
Language.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can do that online. You can. That's something that you can bring in and do online.
With five students, it should be a club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point.
You know.
Good point.
So there's a lot of challenges.
So what's been the reception since you started the group?
So those that are obviously on my side are you know, open arms and let's do this. And then of course we've got those that are against what we're trying to do. So it's been, in my opinion, I think it's been a good reception.
Has your site been infiltrated with people that think you're crazy? I mean,
funny you should ask that, because I looked at the list. I joined the mm-hmm. The Facebook group, and I looked at the list, and I'm like, some of the names I know are not fiscal conservative.
Right.
They're more, and I've heard from a lot of people in our town, Joyce surprises me that they don't mind higher taxes. They really don't mind. I'm like, well, what do they do for a living that they don't mind higher taxes? Because people on fixed incomes, the elderly, they have a very hard time with just the price of a pizza. Even that, they feel it in their budget.
You know, the cities and towns in New Hampshire, and I'll use my town in Londonderry. The taxes just went up the same thing big time in Londonderry. What we're doing is we're cleansing the elderly that have retired out of the cities and towns.
Yes,
and they opened the doors for people with deep pockets. So when they came in, it's a form of where they're going to get the votes to support the schools. You know, anything you want, yeah, we're going to give it to you. We don't care. But meanwhile, that mom and dad that brought their children to the school system for years and years, now they're retired and took a big cut in pay, they're screwed.
That's so sad.
And it's a shame, and they got to move out.
That's sad. And that's, you know, I'm a believer. We've got 20-some thousand residents in Merrimack, and about 8,000 voters, I believe it is. And we barely get, I think the last election we had, it was under 2,000,
A lot of people stayed home.
Right.
And we, you know, Merrimack has been traditionally a pretty much a Republican town or conservative town, because there's a lot of independents, but they make up a lot of the votes.
You got screwed in Merrimack, because the people you just brought up that stayed home, you got, who are those four water girls that don't do nothing?
Water girls.
That don't do anything for Merrimack except vote for water. And they vote for taxes, more taxes, and other. You got four.
Yeah, there's four.
The water warriors.
Yeah, the water warriors. Yeah, I call them the water girls.
But if you look at the voting records, and Al and I, we look at the, because that's our job. We look at all the roll call votes, and they have voted for all the taxes, all the growing government.
So hopefully, you're on your site, you're going after them, what they're doing to the state of New Hampshire, and also to not only just to your property taxes, but to your electric bills and every other damn thing, subsidies and
it's a multi-tiered approach. We looked at where the spending where the majority of the money was being spent, and we found obviously the school district being nearly 70% of it. Mm-hmm. So that's where we started first. Yeah. We've got some concerns on the town side as well. We've got the fire department is so understaffed. They've got many, many times they're relying on mutual aid. There's equipment that's broken. They've got some challenges there. And I know that the town council is working on that, which I'm pleased. But we've got to go all the way up the list here. You know, it's not just Merrimack that this is happening to.
Yeah.
I saw, funny enough, in Winchester yesterday, there was an article about at the deliberative session, they came in and cut over $1 million from the budget. Yeah. And their answer was...
Oh, yeah. I think Anne Marie posted that on your website.
Yes.
And Merrimack concerned taxpayers.
Yeah. And the interesting part was, why did they do it? Because they've put the money into it with no results on testing and on student outcomes. Well, that's very reasonable to me to make those cuts, right? If you're not doing something to better the outcome of the students, if you're not doing something to change test scores, then I think it's time to look at something different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know nobody likes to hear it, but the reality is Bedford, right up the road, is, you know, a top 10 school district every single year. We're running anywhere between 29 and 35th. They spend a lot less money than we do, and they educate their students for a lot less per student, mm-hmm. and their kids are doing better.
Well, look at the charter schools. I mean, the kids there are amazing.
Right. Yeah.
They're so smart, and their budgets are so small. So the amount of money spent is not what makes the students better. So
exactly, and to prove that
homeschoolers.
There's so many that are going to say, well, it's because of the socioeconomics of Bedford. Well, you know what? Let's forget about New Hampshire. Let's go to New York for a second. In New York, we've got the Success Academies, 43 schools in New York City, in the boroughs. Those schools are teaching students for far less than what we're teaching them for, with outcomes way higher than I could have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, it can be done here as well. Do I expect us to become Success Academies? No, I don't. But at the end of the day, I expect an improvement.
What does Merrimack pay us per student? What's it?
Nearly 17,000.
Okay, so we're about 18 something.
Yeah, 18, you guys are high as well.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. But now Bedford's only paying just a little over 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
that's not even the total, though, is it? Is that the state figures?
That's the state figures.
Okay,
correct. Because they got to back things out of
that. You're paying a lot more per student because they don't add in like transportation,
correct.
I think. So keep in mind that those figures, you think 18,000 is a lot. I can tell you it's higher.
Oh, it is.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
Well, another thing that's unique about Merrimack is that we have two budgets.
Right.
So we have the town budget, we have the school budget. If we had a mayor, there would be one budget,
mm-hmm.
and then we can look at the whole the whole thing and itemize and see where money needs to move to make it all balanced.
We're right below you. I mean, we're close running. We're all about 25,000, you know, in Londonderry. And our high schools they're out of control. I mean, they do a great job, but the bottom line is we're throwing more money in there, and yet the kids are dropping, you know.
And I've known a lot of people that have moved out of Merrimack because of the taxes.
Yeah.
Like, don't leave.
I saw two posts just the other day about people that said, we're going to have to leave.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's sad.
It is sad.
And I've had to think about that as well.
Yeah.
Because, again, what happens if we reach the $100 million mark? Because we're not far from it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the school board did make some cuts this year, and I think that our group is to be credited for that. Mm-hmm. However, they put a lot of warrant articles in, and they've been very vocal about, we've never had this situation
before. And a lot of people don't understand the whole thing with warrant articles. Just the words warrant article,
right.
What does it mean?
Right.
Shall the town raise and appropriate? You know, a lot of people don't know what that means. It
says
tax and spend. That's what it is. They should just write that on the warrant article. This means, shall we take your money and spend it wherever we want?
Yeah, so I've started doing some short 2-minute videos to talk about each one of the I started out talking about the group, then I talked about the importance of voting, because we got to get the people out to vote.
Mm-hmm. And
they've
I also hear from people in town that they don't know the names on the list.
Well, that's the other part of the equation, and I'll be honest with you, I lived in that world too until this year. I would look at it, I'd say, okay, it makes sense, doesn't make sense, but so many offices have run unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year. It's not happening this year. This year, there's going to be people that are going to be running, and people are going to have to truly sell themselves if they want to be part of these boards and these committees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it not, in fact, an epidemic across the state? Every town, my town hall is the same thing. Warrant articles, never reducing costs, but falling enrollment numbers. Yep. It seems to be a concerted effort almost to bankrupt the towns. And you said, Al, drive out the older folks to cleanse them out and raise your tax base with new, young, rich BMW driving types. Well, that's all very well, but if you do that statewide, A, where do those people go, and are there enough rich people to move in? I don't think so.
The next step is an income tax. You know, that's where they want to relieve your property taxes. We're going to do this income tax over here, and that's you're not going to get the relief.
No,
you're
not at all.
I remember when I was running for the first time for state rep, so I've been a state rep for 10 years, and this man, I was at the Watson Park, and somebody stopped and told me he wanted an income tax, and I thought he was joking. I'm like, you're serious? I figured out he was serious. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. Somebody wants there are people. It's like they either aren't working, so it won't affect them, or they just make so much money that they wouldn't miss it. But most people would notice.
The nice thing about Scott's group too is, I was invited to join the group also, and I can't remember who invited me, but
probably me.
It was and I was a member of the Bedford Taxpayers Association when I lived in Bedford. So we've gone, I would go through that budget every single year, and I would point out, you can cut this, you can cut this. It's not going to impact your academic outcomes. This is, money wasted. You look at your dues that you're paying on behalf of your school out of the school budget. Just look at your dues. Look at the teacher training, the professional development. You want to talk about a waste of money. And you're probably going, what do you mean professional development's a good thing? And it can be. It really can be. But so often it's used for political purposes. We've seen, teachers being, indoctrinated in political ideology using professional development money. And I'm all for making the teacher smarter. So if you're using the money for that, that's money well spent. But who even looks at what they're teaching the teachers once they're in the schools? Nobody looks at that expenditure. You see professional development, you automatically think, oh, there's money well spent. You've really got to go back and look at and then request information on what was that spent on. Because I hear from teachers across the state that will tell me, this is the biggest waste of money that I just had to sit through. Because not only are you paying the teachers to sit through it, you're paying a substitute to teach their class. Those are the kinds of things that, if you're going through a budget, a lot of people they're not going further and looking deeper. And so when I joined the organization or the Facebook group, that's what I was hoping to bring to them is, hey, guys, look at this. Hey, guys, look at this. Right now, one of the big trends is put somebody on administrative leave, paid administrative leave. We've got a teacher in New Hampshire, and this is going to – you guys don't know this. Teacher in New Hampshire that was put on administrative leave when school started in September. And he's a social studies teacher, and he had suggested to one of his Asian students to look at Tiananmen Square to do a paper.
Yes, I heard about that,
Okay. Yeah, to do a paper. And he was charged with cultural insensitivity. Mm-hmm. And so he's now, I believe, leaving the school district. So they're paying him for an entire year. And obviously somebody to cover the class and whatever other benefits he will receive upon leaving. Now, that's an example of what I consider a complete waste of money. There are times where that is money well spent. In Hampton, we had an issue with a principal, and I don't think anybody would have trusted the superintendent's outcome. So they hired that outside independent voice investigator to look at the situation. So, it depends, but you've got to dig deeper. You've got to look at everything, and that's tough. That's hard to do. But an organization like this, where you have several members in it, you can start, maybe some people can start filing those right to know requests. Get that information and dig deeper. If you're just one person out there, it makes it tough. But when you have an actual organization in your town that's committed to the budget and looking at the mm-hmm. budget, you know, those are the kinds of things that you need to look at. And, you know, the dues that you're paying to these lobbying organizations, that's another joke.
Since you mentioned yeah. Tenement Square, I'm just going to put a plug out there for my – I now have a YouTube channel, Chatting with Janine, and I have two shows up so far. And one of them is The China Threat, and one of the guests on the show is a survivor of the Tenement Square massacre.
Oh, wow.
He was there when he was 18 years old, Dr. Sean Lynn. So I think it's playing on Merrimack TV this week, Channel 22, and then also on my YouTube channel, so I put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've so we requested 2 years worth of professional development.
Outstanding.
And we have we have one person in our group that is she's doing a phenomenal job really diving into that and pointed out a couple things.
Great.
So I'm pleased about that.
Yeah, and you may not turn up anything, but I'm telling you, look, the fact that you're even looking at it, this point forward, they're going to know that you're going to be requesting that information. They're going to be a little more aware of, we better make sure that this money being spent right. is really something we need. And that's the other thing. How about asking for our needs and wants? You know, hey, superintendent, go through this budget. Tell us what's a need, what's a want. Right. In Bedford, I asked them to post the check registry online. You can go to Bedford school website right now, and if you click on a few clicks, you can look at each expenditure each month from their check registry. I asked the superintendent to do that. I didn't go to the school board meeting. He just said yes. This was several years ago. He just said yes, and they posted it. They redact, you know, like if they're spending money, let's say, on a certain student,
sure.
they're going to redact the student's name.
I think that's a great idea.
But you can look at every month, and that's what I would do. I would go every month and look at what are they spending the money on.
Okay. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, our 20 minutes are up, but I want to thank you for joining me, Anne-Marie.
Yes.
And Scott.
Pleasure.
Absolutely. Scott, good to meet you.